Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
As of this past week, stay-at-home and shelter orders are impacting 90% of our nation and countries throughout the world. We are witnessing events that we have never seen happen before, not only in our lifetime, but in the history of the world. Never before has there been such a widespread worldwide pandemic that knows no borders or boundaries of safety. This Easter season, with all the COVID-19 events swirling around us and instructions given to stay home, stay safe, and save lives, my mind and my heart has been drawn to remembering the first stay-at-home and shelter order that God provided for His people in Exodus 12 to both keep them safe and to save them. It was a time of the first Passover that God used to bring His people out of Egypt to redeem them from not only slavery, but to redeem them as His people unto Himself. On that very night before the 10th and final plague, God gave to His people instructions as a visual picture to be a memorial forever, both for them and for their children. God wanted His people to see the full picture of their redemption so that they would see that they were only safe in Him and to see they were only saved by Him, who alone is their Lord and promised Redeemer. For 430 years, the children of Israel had dwelt in Egypt, at first in freedom and safety and in great prosperity. But now, for the past several hundred years, Israel only knew bondage and bitter hardship. But Israel's greatest problem was not enslavement, but in forgetfulness of their God and God's promise to them that they were as His people to see that they were only safe in Him. Over 400 years before, God had made a promise, an unconditional covenant to Abraham, promising to Abraham a people, land, and blessing, and through him, through Abraham, to all the families of the earth. Then in Genesis 15, God reminded Abraham again of His promise and of the promised one to come through his seed. The scripture says in Genesis 15:6 that Abraham that very night looked up at the sky full of God's promises, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. God then cut an eternal covenant with Abraham that day. This promise that God made to Abraham was so secure, so safe, that God put Abraham to sleep as the presence of the Lord Himself walked through the cut and slain pieces on both sides of the blood covenant aisles. It was a picture that this covenant that God Himself cut with Abraham was not dependent upon Abraham or on his descendants, upon what they did or did not do, but was based solely upon what the Lord Himself promised to do for His people who, like Abraham, believed in the Lord. God's promise to His people was so safe, so secure, that God was saying, "May I Myself be cut in two if I don't keep this covenant both to you and for you. Even if you don't keep your covenant with Me and walk with Me," God was saying, "I will keep My eternal covenant with you and will one day by Myself walk again this blood path and be slain and My life given as a blood sacrifice for you." You know, you can't get a more safe or more secure than in a God like that, who provides for His people who cannot provide for themselves. But now so much time had passed, and the bitterness of hardship and suffering had made Israel almost forget not only the promise of the eternal covenant, but also forget the Lord who made the covenant. Through the sending of Moses, God's chosen servant, and then 10 plagues later, Israel was awakened to see who their God is, that He alone is the great I Am, their promised Redeemer, who redeems His people unto Himself by Himself to all those who believe in Him and are only safe in Him. So what was God saying to His people that night that was filled with both fear and terror, but also filled with the very promises of God as He gave His people His instructions to stay home and shelter? God was stripping away all His people's supposed safety and security so that they, like Abraham, their forefather, would look up to Him and believe in the Lord and see that they were only safe in Him. You know, sometimes as God's people, we too forget that we are only safe in Him. How easily our hearts fall into discouragement during times of hardship, suffering, or even uncertainty. Sometimes we fail to remember God's eternal promise to us that because of Christ alone, no matter what happens in this life, we who are God's people, who believe in the Lord, who have trusted in Him, need to see that we are eternally safe only in Him. In 1527, over 500 years ago, the dreaded Black Plague came back again, sweeping across Europe and into Germany, and came knocking on Wittenberg's door, the city, and also the very home of Martin Luther. When others in Wittenberg ran for the hills to try to escape the plague, Martin Luther and his wife decided to remain in their home. But because they knew that their life in Christ was eternally secure, Martin and his wife, Katharina, they decided to not just stay home and shelter, but to open the door of their home to save the lives of others. They threw open the doors of their home and turned the Black Cloister, the former university dormitory, into a hospital to fight the Black Plague. They cared night and day for the sick and the dying, but even more importantly, Luther and Katharina ministered God's word to the people and pointed the people to see Christ, their only true shelter, for only in Christ alone, to all those who believe in him by faith alone, are we eternally secure. When I was reading about this dark time in history that for Martin Luther and the people in Wittenberg lasted for 4 long months, I found out it was during this time or shortly after that Martin Luther, the pastor, theologian, scholar, and Reformation leader, but also the songwriter, penned his most well-known hymn that soon became the battle cry of the Reformation, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a Bulwark Never Failing." This song written by Luther was based on Psalm 46, especially verse 1 that says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Martin Luther, almost 500 years ago, knew this same eternal truth that because God himself is our promised Redeemer, no matter what happens in this life, we who are in Christ are eternally safe in him. When times like these come into our lives and try our souls, what is God saying to us? Could it be just like in the time of Exodus with Israel that night, that God is also stripping away our supposed strengths, our protective safety layers, and is reminding us that Christ alone is our shelter, he is our refuge, and for us who have believed in the Lord, no matter how dark our night, God wants us to lift up our eyes, to look upon him, and see that we're only safe in him. But God wants us to see something more, a fuller picture of our promised Redeemer, for not only are we safe in him, but also we are only saved by him. You know, just recently I was in the middle of one of our teacher training classes when one of the students asked, "So what are we saved from?" At first, the question, it caught me off guard, and I suddenly remember one of the podcasts I have recently listened to of one of my favorite theologians who is now with the Lord. I said, "We are saved from God, by God." You know, sometimes we forget what we are saved from. We are saved from God himself. All of us deserve God's judgment and God's holy wrath to fall upon each of us because of our sin. In Exodus 12:12, God himself says, "I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." This 10th plague was a plague of final judgment, but this plague would be different from the other plagues. Not only was this judgment of God upon all the firstborn of all of Egypt, but it was the judgment of God upon all the land in Egypt, including all the firstborn of Israel, God's people. No house would be spared. There would be no distinctions, no exceptions. The only difference is upon whom the judgment from God would fall. Would the judgment of God fall upon every firstborn in every household who trusted in themselves to be saved? Or would the judgment of God fall upon the Lamb in every household who trusted in the blood of the Lamb to be saved? The Lord himself was coming that night in person to pass through the land and execute his righteous judgment upon every household. How could Israel, God's people, be saved from God? The answer, they couldn't. They would only be saved from God by God. And the very next verse in Exodus 12:13, God says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." There was no way Israel could save themselves. They could never on their own stand before holy God and his righteous judgment. If they trusted in themselves like the Egyptians, they too would be struck down and die. But what does God do? God provides for a people who cannot provide for themselves. God made a way for his people to be saved by trusting in him alone through God's provided way. And what was God's provided way? Through faith alone in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 13 specifically says that the blood of the Lamb that was applied in faith upon both posts and on the top of every household door was a token, a sign. But what is the sign pointing to? Was the sign pointing to the sign itself, or was a sign pointing beyond itself to the one to whom all the signposts and all of Scripture was ultimately pointing, to the promised Redeemer who is himself the Lamb? Let's take a few moments to see some of these major signposts in Scripture that leads up to this sign in Exodus 12. In Genesis 3:15, right after sin entered into the world through Adam, we had the first signpost proclaiming the promised Redeemer would come through the seed of the woman and would crush forever the problem of sin, Satan, and death through allowing himself to be crushed. But before we even close Genesis chapter 3, we see another signpost that shows us that Adam and Eve and their seed could never be saved and be made right with God through the covering of their own works, but only through the covering work of another, who would himself be killed and slain for them, giving his life for their sin-filled life, which is the first picture of the promised Lamb. Then in Genesis 4, the very next chapter, we see the only way we can be made right with God is through faith in the offered Lamb and never through faith in our own works offered to God our way. Genesis 12 and 15, we've already mentioned before, we have back-to-back signposts of our coming promised Redeemer, who is not only coming from the seed of the woman, but also through the chosen seed line of Abraham to be that blessing to all the families of the earth. But this blessing of the eternal covenant, the blood covenant cut, would not be kept by us, but kept by God for us, by God laying himself down for us to be slain for us. But the apex of the signpost found along the Genesis highway is posted on top of Mount Moriah in Genesis 22. The promised Redeemer to come is, in fact, our substitute Lamb, who would not be spared for us, but would willingly take our place for us by offering himself up for us in our stead. There are so many signposts in Scripture placed along the way, but it is here in Exodus 12 that we see one of the clearest signs that we are only saved from God by God, through God's provided Passover Lamb. God, who told the promised Redeemer, also promised, "When I see the blood of the Lamb, I will pass over you." You see, the beauty of the unfolding message of the promised Redeemer is this: we are not only saved from God, by God, but we are saved from God by God himself, who is himself the promised Redeemer, the provided Passover Lamb, the very Lamb of God. When we turn the pages to the New Testament, we see John the Baptist right at the beginning of the Gospel of John pointing to Jesus and proclaiming to us who Jesus is at the top of his lungs, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What kind of God is this who saves us from himself, by sending his own Son? One of my favorite ways to teach children that we are both safe in Christ and also saved by Christ is a simple object lesson using a hammer, an egg, and a tin cup or a coffee can. The hammer represents God in his holiness and his perfect righteousness, who must judge sin and all unrighteousness that transgresses God's holiness and his perfect law. You know, there's no question about it. The judgment of God is going to fall, but only upon who? The egg represents you and me, our sin, our weakness, our fragileness, and our complete unrighteousness before high and holy God. If we were to try to stand before the hammer of God's righteous judgment, we would be crushed because we have no righteousness in ourselves before God. The tin cup represents Christ, God's provision for us through his Son. God in his mercy and love for us made a way for his hammer of judgment to not fall upon us, but to instead fall on God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is God's promise for all those who believe into Christ, trusting what Christ alone has done for us on our behalf. We have the promise that we, that egg, now inside of Christ, inside the tin cup, are not only safe in him, we are also saved by him when the hammer of God's judgment comes down not on us, but on Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. The Israelites that day before the 10th plague, when they heard of God's provision for them, that they would be safe and saved only through faith alone in God's Passover Lamb, the Scripture says that they bowed their heads and worshiped. This Easter, no matter what fears are spinning all around us in the world, we as God's people can bow our heads and worship the Lord. No matter how dark the night, we can look to him and praise him because God has provided himself for us, the Lamb. We who have believed in Christ are both safe in him and saved by him because Christ alone is our Passover Lamb. Thanks again for listening, and may you have a blessed Easter as you gather your family and perhaps your children together in your home and worship the Lord, who is our crucified and risen Lord, our forever Passover Lamb.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.